You're listening to the IM&M Intelligent Buildings podcast with founder and CEO of the IM&M Suite, Paul Wells.
Hello, my name is Paul Wells, and this is the fifth in the series of podcasts looking at intelligent buildings. I'm here today at JLL to talk to Alex Eds, Director of Innovation at JLL, to discuss his view of intelligent buildings. Many thanks for agreeing to talk to us today.
Hello. Thank you.
If possible, we'd like to get your view as a smart buildings expert on the following questions. At JLL, how do you see sustainability, placemaking, and well-being in terms of building management?
Okay, thank you. Thanks for that. And nice also to hear that I'm a smart buildings expert. First time I've been called that. But I guess, in a way, my background and experience, I suppose, does help me in that space, because I spent 10 years advising real estate on sustainability, both at a strategic level, but also at an asset operational level. And in the last 4 and a bit years, I've been in this role, innovation lead at JLL, really looking at some of the solutions that are out there, mainly technologically driven, but not only. And actually, you know, those two worlds colliding is effectively what we're talking about in terms of smart buildings. So I think, you know, my view, and to your question, is sustainability, placemaking, well-being. Actually, sustainability really is the sort of all-encompassing, I think, objective. Because if you're, you know, delivering a sustainable building, then it's good for the users, it's good for the owners, and it's good for the community and the environment in which it sits. Often, sustainability is just looked at through the lens of energy or environmental issues. But I'm true to the word of it. And so I think in terms of well-being, that really sits part of it. In terms of placemaking, it all sort of sits part of it. So I think in terms of having a clearer, and it's something actually that I sort of talk a lot about at the moment, is having a vision or a clear strategy. And it might sound pithy, but having that for a building and indeed at a building level is really important, because, you know, in the context of sustainability, but also in the context of the wider, you know, the wider objectives or vision for that asset, because then you can align all of the stakeholders that you need to align contractually, you know, with incentives, with data, and to ensure that everyone's kind of, you know, pulling the same way. It's a very fragmented industry, and there's lots of stakeholders involved in you know, the operation of buildings. And at the moment, I see a lot of point solutions being delivered into buildings for the benefit of, you know, of the stakeholder who happens to be, you know, wanting to drive a certain value for them. But it doesn't necessarily align with the overall, you know, sustainability objective or the overall objective. And so for me, I think in terms of, you know, sort of, I guess, where we are now and where we need to get to, it's moving away from just having, you know, a plethora of point solutions to deliver smartness or to deliver, you know, whatever it might be, energy savings, waste, whatever it might be, to a position where all of those systems are kind of integrated and aligned to a clear objective. So that for me is, I think, is a conversation which perhaps is just starting, but I think we're going to see how that will, you know, how that will drive. And I think building managers are an absolutely key part of delivering that.
Thank you very much. That's really interesting. So we've looked at where we are now, but in your opinion, where do you think, what do you think is the future for intelligent buildings?
Okay, so intelligent buildings. You know, and I think good to differentiate intelligent buildings from smart buildings or smart tech. For me, an intelligent building is one which, you know, reacts to its users or to its environment. And I think, as per the point before, a lot of point solutions are delivering, you know, particular values or particular value chain, you know, and are driving certain activity or certain, you know, operational efficiencies, etc., in the building. But actually, to create that sort of holistic intelligence, you know, does require integration. And, you know, from experience of where we are at the moment, I'd say that the integration of different technologies is one of the biggest barriers and one of the biggest pain points that we face at the moment. You know, I'd like to think, as we move to more open protocol and everything becomes open API, that becomes an easier task. But it does require different stakeholders to come together and work towards a common goal, which isn't always easy. And I suppose, you know, as much as intelligent buildings or smart buildings, which will create intelligent buildings, is, you know, technology is clearly a key part of that. I would say the most important thing is having intelligent people. And, you know, it's having people you can sit around and have a conversation about what are we trying to achieve. Back to my point before around having that clear vision and then having the right incentives to deliver that. Because ultimately, you know, nothing's possible, nothing's going to be delivered unless you've got the people to deliver it. And I think that goes further to putting the tech in is great, but then people, in some cases, you'll need people to deliver, you know, the outcomes. So it's all very well having you know, dashboards and information, but fundamentally, someone's got to do something with that. And that might not be, you know, the building managers. You might be in a, you might be talking about an intelligent building which effectively automates itself, but the people that use that space have to know how to work within that space or have to understand how that plays to them. So I think, I think for me, it's both about the tech and the people and how those two things come together. And I think it was interesting, actually, it was an event a couple of days ago, and a gentleman there from AXA, who were building the 2 Bishopsgate at the moment, and they were talking about having a sort of an advisory panel for the building, which, you know, you could just say, well, that's a tenant meeting repackaged. But actually, you know, looking at having both internal stakeholders, but also external stakeholders to challenge them on a regular basis as to what is best in class, and, you know, what should they be looking at to drive, you know, to drive improvements and ultimately, you know, attract the best people.
I think that's really interesting, especially about the people side, because that's where we come from in terms of looking at how the building should work with the people rather than the other way around.
Yeah, you have to start there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're absolutely spot on that it's got to be both the technology and the people working together. So JLL famously developed the 330-300 rule. In your opinion, how does this apply to the value proposition for clients when developing intelligent buildings?
Yeah, so the famous 330-300. I don't know why it wasn't called 110-100, to be honest. But yeah, it seems a bit more simpler. And for those that don't know, that's, you know, a way of thinking about the cost of running, or I guess the costs associated with a building, is 3 being the cost of the utilities to run it, 30 being the cost of occupancy, so the rent typically and the associated costs that go with that. And then the 300 being, you know, the salaries of the people that are working in that building, as a sort of order of magnitude and a way of illustrating the importance of when you're thinking about sustainability, when you're thinking about intelligence, or when you're thinking about the value ultimately of a building, you absolutely need to be focusing on the people. But I think, in, you know, obviously intelligent building, well-crafted intelligent building needs to respond to all of those. And I think it's obvious, goes without saying, obvious one in terms of the 3 is around energy utilities and making the building as efficient as possible. Indeed, you know, maybe even making it net zero carbon, or indeed net positive, which seems to be a conversation that is happening more often. And then you're into a space, quite interesting space, of buildings becoming their own power stations and actually creating power for the neighbouring city. But, you know, clearly that is, as a cost perspective, still a fairly small percentage of the overall building costs. When you're into, I guess, space usage, rent, and the cost of occupancy, I think, you know, the move, which, you know, again, is starting to happen now, and we're starting to see both corporate occupiers but also landlords try to understand how the spaces are being used, and then effectively making far more data-driven decision-making about, you know, how many desks they need, do they need this new office, or can they, you know, take some flexible office, and obviously the rise of flex office operators to provide that overspill, that flexibility as teams shrink or grow. Obviously it's part of the whole kind of gig economy move, and moving to more sort of focused product teams being skilled up and spun up for certain projects and then wound down at the end of that project. That real estate needs to respond to that. And likewise, even for us in JLL, we've recently rolled out utilization sensors in here, and we're doing, you know, some rejigging of the floor space. And we're using that data to understand, you know, where do people work, What desk ratio do we need? How much flex? And how much breakout space do we want? All with a view to making sure that our cost base of real estate is the most efficient. And then you're into, you know, the big, I guess the big prize, which is how are the people using it? How productive are the people that are using it? And I think, you know, that's definitely the least quantifiable. I think we're a long way off businesses truly understanding the impact of the physical space on their people. There's a lot of activity in that area. There's a lot of studies happening, and I think, you know, we're moving quite quickly, and it's quite exciting as to, you know, where we're going to get to. But I think I think what will become quite interesting, and I think a challenge for real estate, is what is the role of the building owner, or on their behalf, the building manager, to provide that type of intelligence to the occupier? Because if an occupier is taking one floor of a multi-let building of 10 floors and they want to understand, you know, how productive their staff are, they might well need to extract intelligence from the building, the physical space, the environmental data, you know, the utilization data. Is that something that they ask the landlord to provide? Is that something that they have to do themselves? That raises all sorts of questions about data and sharing. And obviously we're in an environment where people are getting more and more concerned about that. So I think, you know, it's a really interesting question and conversation to be had about the role of, you know, what is the role of the landlord or the building manager on behalf of the landlord for the occupier? And what is it that the occupier will want to buy in terms of, you know, is it a thing rather than thinking about it as purely just renting some space, but actually thinking about it as a space solution. They need a space solution and all that goes with that. You're obviously seeing the rise of co-working and flex providers, I guess, take a more hands-on role to provide that type of, I guess, that more curated experience for members. But whether that type of model can work for all occupiers, particularly large corporates with a brand and an associated brand and, you know, a culture that they want to go with that, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they look for buildings, what they look for in terms of the model, the operating model that will support them. So I think, you know, that area, the 300 area, is the one that's most exciting, but I think the industry's only really just starting to learn the questions that it needs to have answered.
Yeah, that really resonates with me as well. So Alex, thank you very much for talking to us. I'm sure people will get as much out of this as I did, and really appreciate you allowing us to come in and actually talk to you today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm Paul Wells. This is the fifth in the series of podcasts looking at intelligent buildings.
For more information about our intelligent building solutions, visit immsuite.com.